من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين، من ليلتنا هذه إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين، وعلى علي بن الحسين، وعلى أولاد الحسين، وعلى أصحاب الحسين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. My respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight is the ninth night of Muharram. It is known as the night of Tasu'a, Tasu'a being the ninth day of the month of Muharram. In a hadith that's reported from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, from the book Al-Kafi, when the Imam alayhi salam was asked about the day of the ninth of Muharram, meaning Tasu'a, the Imam alayhi salam responded by saying, Tasu'a يَوْمٌ حُوْصِرَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابُهُ. That ninth of the month of Muharram was the day in which the Imam alayhi salam and his companions were surrounded. وَأَيْقَنُوا they became certain أَنْ لَا يَأْتِ الْحُسَيْنِ نَاصِرٌ, that no helper will come and aid Hussein, and that there will be no forces coming from Iraq to come to assist Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Meaning that Umar ibn Sa'd and his army became happy on that day, because they were certain that they had surrounded them and completely cut off any hope of any army coming to assist them. And then the Imam alayhi salam has an interesting expression here, a very sad expression. He says, بِأَبِلْ مُسْتَضْعَفِ الْغَرِيبِ. Imam Sadiq is talking about his grandfather Imam Hussein. But he's saying, may I be sacrificed for my grandfather, the one who was oppressed and the one who was gharib, the one who was a stranger without any help in that land. So you see, brothers and sisters, this night is not an ordinary night. These days and nights are very special. These are the times that we can be certain that the Imam of our time is grieving, and he is sad, and he is mourning. In a hadith, we're told Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that Shi'atuna juz'un minna. Our Shi'a are part of us. خُلِقُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ طِينَتِنَا. They were created from the same substance that we were created from. يَسُؤُهُمْ مَا يَسُؤْنَا وَيَسُرُّهُمْ مَا يَسُرُّنَا. What makes us upset makes them upset. And what makes us happy makes them happy. So given that we know that the Ahlul Bayt are upset on these type of nights and these type of days, we too, inshallah, can adopt the same attitude and the same sentiment and the same spirit of our heart as we go about our actions in these days and these nights. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. The topic that we're discussing is that of awakening the hearts. And yesterday we explained briefly, or in a concise and summary form, what it means to wake up. Somebody who wants to wake up from an Islamic perspective. Somebody who wants to do something to feel spiritual, to feel that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they need to do. And the nutshell of that is that it's something that comes from within. It's a thought process that we need to have, a decision we need to make in our minds. That, look it, we've come here for a purpose. We've been put in this earth for a purpose. We have a goal we want to reach, a very high and lofty goal. And we have a limited time in order to get to that goal. So we need to start moving. The goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our limited time is however much time we have left in this world, which is unknown to any of us. And we need to start moving. And that movement is along the path of the religion. The religion, the deen, is a path which guides us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. The Prophet says, he's commanded to say, this is my path and I invite you to Allah. Now, there might have been some questions that would have come to the mind of somebody who was listening carefully. And what I'd like to do is to pose the question and answer the question. Inshallah, this is the same type of questioning that was in your mind, even though you may not have expressed it. Question number one, what should we do? Okay, it's good you're talking about waking up and a thought process and a goal and a destination and a path and GPS, but what is it that we need to do? Answer, very simply. What we need to do is we need to act upon what we know we have to act upon. Every single one of us has some knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do this. Whatever it may be. Some of us have more knowledge, some of us have less knowledge. If we want to be able to have that feeling of waking up and really be awake on a spiritual level, the first thing we need to do is to look and say, okay, well, what do I already know? Why don't I start acting upon that? First things first. They say that people used to go to Ayatollah Behjad, may God's mercy be upon him, the great scholar, the great arif, the one who had achieved high spiritual ranks. And they would go to him for advice. They would say, okay, what can we do? Right? We see you in such a position. I mean, you can go and search for him on YouTube and watch how they recorded him saying his prayer. Just watch it. That enough will tell you that this man was a special man. He had some special connection with Allah. His heart was definitely alive. His spiritual heart was alive and pumping. So they would go to him. They would say, what can we do to be like you? Just give us something, some advice. And most of the time, he would look at them and he would say, that, look it, whatever you've been told to do, whatever advice you've gotten until now, why don't you act upon that? And then see what happens. Only rarely would he look at the person and be able to judge that actually this person is already acting upon what they know. Let me give him something new to act upon. So that's the first step, is just assessing what we know and acting upon it. If we're serious about that, then we'll start to notice a couple of things. One of them is that even in what we know, there are some areas where we're a bit weak. We're not sure about what the right thing is to do. We're not sure what God wants us to do in these areas. So then we need to go and ask. And also, as we start to completely put into practice what we know we need and we ought to do, then that desire will come from within, that, you know what? I want to know more. I want to get more. I want to do more. I want to be a better servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to understand what I should do in all situations in life. And then we'll start to have that desire, and then we need to go and ask and learn even more. So that was question number one, answer number one. Question number two. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I mentioned last night that the actions, the path that somebody who is alive and awake on a spiritual level, the path that they take is not different from the path of somebody who is not spiritually awake. It's not that they're doing other and different things, but rather they're doing the same things, but they're doing them with more precision, and they're more careful about them. So the question is this: can you give us some examples? It's nice to be able to pose the questions and answer them as well too. It's easy that way. So can you give us some examples? Okay, sure, I can give you some examples. Example number one. It's bedtime. I'm trying to make it simple so we can understand here. It's bedtime. Somebody who doesn't have any notion of trying to develop this relationship with Allah, trying to go on a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them, bedtime is simply a matter of shutting off the lights, jumping into bed, pulling up the cover, and going to sleep. Maybe they'll have a glass of milk before, some cookies, right? Maybe, I don't know, say goodbye to everyone at home, and then good night, and then, okay, off to bed. That's the actions of somebody who is not seeking to go beyond and to try to raise themselves. Now, compare that to somebody who is looking for something more. Bedtime comes along. They also would like to go to sleep. They'd also like to get some rest. But the approach that they take is completely different. In a hadith, we're told that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi says to Abu Dhar, he's giving Abu Dhar advice on what he needs to do to get to the next level, and we can learn from this. He says that, O Abu Dhar, for every action that you do, let yourself have a niyyah, have an intention behind it. Do things with a purpose. And then he says, even when it comes to your eating and when it comes to your sleeping, have an intention and a purpose behind it. So this person, acting upon this advice, when he goes to sleep, he does so with an intention. It's not just about turning off the lights and turning off the light and going to bed. No. He's going, or she's going to sleep because that rest is something necessary in order to be able to rejuvenate the body, get that energy, and continue serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the next day. They're getting that rest and they're treating this as a blessing of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to fall asleep. They're getting that rest and they're entering sleep, but not just like that. The last remembrance, the last thing they want there to do before falling asleep is they want their tongues to be busy remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if this is the last night that they are going to be alive, which could possibly be the case, one day it's going to happen to all of us. If this is the last night that they're going to be alive, let them at least leave this world with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their lips. The attitude is different. The feelings are different. The approach is different. The same action. But what's going on behind the scenes is completely different. The amount that they sleep is according to what they need, not what they please or what they fancy. There's no notion of like, oh, okay, it's waking up, It's gloomy outside. Let me just go back to sleep for another couple hours. No. They have work to do. They have a plan. They have a schedule. Things they need to accomplish. They're busy people. That's example number one. Example number two. And this example, if it might be seen as taken out of context given the solemnity of tonight, my apologies, but I think it's important. Sometimes people think that, okay, somebody who wants to become spiritual, that means that they need to live a boring life. A life which is just, you know, as I just said, they're busy, right? So you just have to be busy all the time and worshiping here and doing this, that, you know. Nothing fun. So let's take an example of having fun. The first example, somebody who doesn't have any notion of trying to develop that spiritual connection. This person, when he has or she wants to have fun, having fun is something separate from the rest of their life. It's like, okay, I have my time when I go to masjid, I have my time when I go to school, and I have my time when I have fun. And you don't have any right to interfere in that time. Don't tell me what I can and what I can't do. When I'm with my friends, that's my time with my friends. And during that time, they do whatever they please. Listen to whatever they want to listen to. Say whatever they want to say. Eat whatever they want to eat. Watch whatever they want to watch. And then, you know, when the party ends, time's up, then they go home, and now it's back to the rest of their lives. The example, however, in contrast, okay, let's look at the example of the person who's trying to develop that spiritual connection. That person who's woken up. They too understand that the human body needs to have fun. It needs to be entertained. Part of being a human being is that we need to have a good time. We need to have our halal downtime. And this comes from our imams, alayhi wasalam. They themselves would have fun and they would encourage their followers to have fun as well too. But when they're having fun and they're entertaining themselves, they're enjoying themselves, that too is an act of worship for them. They're approaching it from the perspective of, okay, this is something I need to do. I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to do so in a controlled sort of way. I'm going to make sure that if I'm watching a movie, for example, it's going to be halal. If I go to some place, it's going to be halal. If I'm spending time, it's going to be in a limited sort of way. I have a schedule. They might want to stay up later and do whatever they're going to do, but I have a bedtime. I need to get to bed. I have other work to do. Scheduled, productive. If I need to spend time with my family sometimes instead of spending all my time with my friends, then I'll do that because that's what God wants me to do. I can have fun with them as well too. See, the approach is different. The spirit is different, even though the action may be the same. Peace be upon Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Now, what I'd like to do is to look at an example of what somebody who has woken up, what's a sign of somebody who has woken up? What sort of things do they experience? I suppose somebody goes through this process we're talking about, how does life change for them? I'm going to give a specific example with respect to how somebody who has woken up views the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before I do that, I want to just answer the question maybe that might be in your mind, which is, okay, Brother Salim, why is it that we're talking about something out there? Right? Why don't we talk about something that's a little bit closer to home? Right? Maybe if we're not there yet, if we haven't made that decision and that commitment to wake up and to make that move and to commit ourselves towards the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's the point of talking about what are the signs of somebody who has? I'm not there yet. Okay, that's a question. Now the answer is this, that at least we should know that such a thing exists. We should know that that's supposed to be something in some place where our faith takes us. Sometimes we tend to think of our faith as being just a matter of a few things, and we don't realize that actually what we're called to do, what we're invited to do, is something very great and lofty and beautiful. So we need to understand at least what is the Qur'an and the Ahlul Bayt inviting us towards. Maybe that way we can get some motivation for actually moving towards there. Maybe that way we can understand that, wait a minute, I used to think I was really doing well. I used to think that I was like really making progress. Maybe I realize I have some room to grow. Peace be upon Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَكَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَكَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a complaint for all of humanity in this verse. He's complaining. He's saying that, look, there's a problem. How often, he says, how often it's the case that people pass by my signs. They pass by the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in a state that they are neglectful of them. They just pass by them. From this verse and other verses of the Quran, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed signs in this universe which point to Him, which advertise Him, which remind us of His existence, and of His mercy and blessings towards us. What are those signs? Where are those signs? Every single object in this universe is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the problem is, according to this verse, most of the people don't even pay attention to them. Why? Because they're blind. Why are they blind? Because they're asleep. Somebody who wakes up, somebody who has gone through this process, makes that commitment and determination, is going to start seeing the things in this world as signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. This is for Ya ayyuhan nas. He's addressing every single human being. Ya ayyuhan nas. اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. All of humanity, all of you, you should worship Allah, worship your Lord, the one who has created you and those before you, so that you may arrive at a state of taqwa. Why? Oh Allah, this is at the beginning of Surah Baqarah, right at the beginning of the Quran. When we're reading the Quran, we need to ask this question, why? Okay, why Allah should we worship? Why should we worship this Lord? Alladhi, he gives the answer. Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-ardha firasha. The one who has made the earth as a spread out canopy for you. Was-sama'a bina'a, and the skies are like walls. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً, and He causes rain and water to come down from the sky. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ, and from this water He causes fruits to come out. And these fruits are a rizq for you. So why is it that you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This verse, brothers and sisters, is a verse which can only be understood and only be felt by those who have woken up. Okay, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying things in a very profound sort of way. He's saying that, look at this universe around here, this ground and this earth, the skies that are up in the sky, the rain that falls down from the sky, and the crops and the fruits and the trees that grow because of that rain, you should know that all of that comes from Me. I'm the one who does that. Allah is the one, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ, and He made this, and He made that, and He causes the rain to descend. Don't think of these things as random occurrences in the universe. See Me behind them. And not only that, not only are these actions of God, but all of these actions in the universe, all of these actions in the natural world, all of them are for one purpose. All of them are for you. رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. All of these things I've made for your benefit. Now, brothers and sisters, inshallah, all of us are people who read the Quran actively. But when we come across these verses, are we jolted? Are we moved by them? Do we find that feeling of sudden realization and a reminder of something that we're feeling, where it changes our hearts and it hits our heart and we're moved because of that recitation? Those who are awake, when they come across these types of verses, they remind them of something that they're already feeling. When they interact with the universe, they don't see these different objects out there as being independent entities. No, they see them as being signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace be salawat ala Muhammad. Let me give you an example of such a person, and perhaps it's the best example that we can choose. That's the example of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. We talk about the bravery of Imam alayhi salam. We talk about the loyalty of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We talk about different aspects of him. But what about this aspect of how he viewed the universe and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In a dua that it's reported in our books of hadith that the Imam used to recite a special dua during the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And in this dua, we can see some glimpse of how such a personality would view the universe around him. How he would see these things not being independent just things, but rather being signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that dua, he says, لا إله إلا الله عدد الليالي والدهور. No God, there is no object or entity worthy of worship other than Allah. How many times? The number of times that there are nights and days in the universe. You see, for someone like Imam Ali, and for somebody who is on the path of Imam Ali, which is the path of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of one who has woken up, for such a person, the changing of night into day and the changing of day into night is something which is a sign of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see these things as being phenomena that are fundamental to our existence and gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and demonstrations of the power and knowledge and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا إله إلا الله عدد أمواج البحور. He goes on in the dua. There is no entity worthy of worship other than Allah, the number of waves in the ocean. Now, how many times do we look at waves in an ocean and just see them as being waves in an ocean? For someone like Imam Ali alayhi salam, or someone who is on the path of Imam Ali alayhi salam, a wave in the ocean is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is a master planner and a master designer and a master controller who is making this universe, the universe churn and it keeps it going and going and going. And if we go and look and see what is the purpose of these waves and how much mercy and how many blessings come from the movement of sands due to these waves, and how precise the system is that they can calculate, you know, the height of the waves due to the position of the moon and other factors, right? We can only be filled with the awe and wonder of the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His universe. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. La ilaha illallahu adada shawki wa shajar. Every tree in the universe for someone like Imam Ali alayhi salam, or someone who is on the path of Imam Ali, is not just a tree. It is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees Allah with it, before it, alongside of it. Because this tree, what blessings there are for us. You go close to it, its shade from the sun. You go close to it, it blocks the strong winds from blowing us away. You go close to it and you take some fruits from its branches. You go close to it and you enjoy the serenity and the tranquility that you get when you're in the presence of that tree. And so many other things you could talk about with respect to a tree. La ilaha illallahu al-adad al-hajari wal-madar. Every pebble and stone in the universe, for someone like Imam alayhi salam, is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallahu adada lamhil uyun. There is no entity worthy of worship the number of times that we blink our eyes. Blinking our eyes? Have you ever thought, are we even conscious of the fact that we blink our eyes? How many times today have you thought about the fact that you are blinking your eyes? How many times today have you thought about the fact that this blinking of the eyes is something which is a mercy of Allah on you? Just imagine, brothers and sisters, that you are asked to keep your eyes open for 10 minutes. Don't blink them. Could you do it? Just ask yourself this question that, okay, for 10 minutes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to withdraw His mercy from you and He's not going to cause you to blink your eyes anymore. You do it yourself. Take care of it yourself, along with other things you're doing while you're driving and you're texting and everything else that you're doing in your daily life. Would any of us sign up for that task? Right? These things are signs. Those who are awake, they see these things. It's not just a matter of talking, of being reminded once in a while. No, they see these as being the blessings and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace be upon Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Imam al-Islam is at the pinnacle of perfection. He sees these as being signs. He sees the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe. But as I said, those who are on his path also see them as such. Sometimes, you know, you don't need to go far away. Sometimes you just talk to people around you. Especially, I found that those elderly individuals who have a pure soul, who are true worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have time to reflect. Sometimes you talk to them and you see how they talk about the universe, and you realize that, subhanAllah, how awake they are, how alive they are, how much more alive they are than I am, despite their being so much older than I am. I know sometimes, you know, being in a holy city of Qum, of course, we have access to a lot of people who give inspiration. And I remember sometimes, you know, you go and talk to them, and usually those who are awake and those who are on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not keen on sharing their secrets with you. They're not keen on talking about themselves, because after all, it's not about bragging or showing off. It's about them and their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes from little things that they say here and there, you understand something about what it is like to be awake from their words. Let me give you a couple of examples. I was speaking one time with one of the teachers, and he was saying the same idea about how this universe is filled with the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he went on to say something. He said that just recently, I happened to come across a citrus fruit. And as I was cutting this fruit and peeling the peel off of this fruit, suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me His mercy, and I was able to see this fruit not just as a piece of fruit, but as an example and a manifestation of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I sat there minute after minute, turning it, reflecting upon it, seeing one side of the mercy of Allah, another angle, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had enveloped me with the mercy by being able to see the other dimensions with respect to this fruit. Another time he says that, you know, have you ever flown on an airplane? If you go on an airplane, you see that a lot of people, they don't even realize that they're flying. Right? They're just busy, you know, like waiting and checking that little, you know, magazine that they put in front of you, trying to see what's for food. You know, when are they going to bring the food? And then when they bring the food, then they're just busy eating and drinking and sleeping. And these days, you know, like the first thing that they hand out are those earphones and the headphones. So from the beginning to the end, they're flying over the Atlantic, they're flying over the Pacific. They're just watching movie after movie after movie or playing games. No idea of anything else that's going on. But those who are awake, those whose souls are awake, for them, flying in an airplane can be an experience, a moving experience. An experience which brings tears to their eyes, because they see that here they are, and here's this plane flying through the air. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, do you not look at those birds in the sky and how they flap their wings, and don't you see me in them? So why is it that we don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this plane that's flying over the sky? Do we really think that this is something which is purely the invention of human beings, and human beings are solely responsible for maintaining this plane that's flying in the sky. This vast system of communication between one plane and the other planes in the sky, and one plane and the airport it's going to go to. That system of scheduling whereby you have thousands and thousands of airports, and somehow all these different landings and taking offs can be scheduled and organized. Do we think that that's something which is independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The fact that this hugely heavy piece of machinery can be flying in the sky, do we think that's something that's purely the invention of humankind? No, somebody who's awake, somebody whose soul is awake, doesn't see it as such. They see that this is being fundamentally the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. What's the problem, brothers and sisters? Why is it that some people see this and other people don't? What they say is that, they give an analogy, they say that, okay, imagine that somebody is asleep in the physical world, you're asleep on your bed. How aware are you of what people are saying around you when you're asleep? We have no idea, usually. Once we're gone, then people can be talking around us, they can be doing whatever they want, and we're completely oblivious until we wake up, and then we can hear them. It's the same way. Somebody who hasn't made that decision, somebody who doesn't have a soul which is awake, for that person, when it comes to these different signs, they don't see them talking to him. They don't see them inviting him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't see... Such a person doesn't see them as being manifestations of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he's like that person who is asleep. But what we need to do is figure out and see what we can do to understand that these things are talking to us. If we don't hear them, it's our problem. It's not their problem. Now, brothers and sisters, just moving towards the Masaib portion. Before I get there, I just want to conclude. And I want to conclude with this, that brothers and sisters, okay, it's fine that we talk about these different things in universe, and the universe being signs for us. But fundamentally and foremost, first, I would suggest that we need to worry about ourselves. Before we try to pick up a fruit and try to understand what it's saying to us, let us first go back to something which is even closer to us, which is ourselves. Have we tried to understand ourselves? What about those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? What are we doing with them? What do we do with these ears that Allah has given us? Are we employing them and using them in the way that He wants us to? This tongue, these eyes, this body, what am I doing with these things? Let God forbid that I should do something with them such that when I can see them on the Day of Judgment as talking and I can hear their voice, that they should say something against me. All the while in this world, they were talking to me and trying to tell me that, wait a minute, use me in a way that will take you to God. Use me in a way that will take you to God. But on the Day of Judgment, they talk to me and say that, you know what, you didn't use me in the way that will take you, that took you to God. And the Quran describes this. In Surah Fussilat, Surah 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, with regards to those who will be in the fire of hell. حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُوهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. When they get to the fire of hell, their ears and their hearing and their sight and their eyes and their skins will become witnesses and testify against them. And they will say, قَالُوا لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Why are you bearing witness and testimony against us? Right, all this while in this world, we thought you were with us. Right, who would ever think that my own eyes are going to be my own enemy? لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. Why are you bearing witness against us? And they will say, قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Now, they say that Allah has caused us to be able to talk. The one who causes everything to talk. But what's the problem, brothers and sisters? The problem has been that we didn't have the ears to be able to hear them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to wake up, help us to make that decision, to make that commitment, so that inshallah we can avoid such scenes. And that we can make use of these blessings in the way which is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala. Please say one more salawat. Tonight is a very difficult night for us because we have to remember a very difficult tragedy. Tonight we commemorate the tragedy and the martyrdom of Ali Akbar, the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ali Akbar is special. How special, we can't understand. But we know that he is the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he is the son of Layla. We know that he is the grandson of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the grandson of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra. And we know he is the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. But the question we need to ask ourselves is it his bloodline that makes him special? Is it the fact that he's a descendant of these family of purity and the family of light that makes him special? We're told in a hadith that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Wilayati." Wilayati li Ali ibn Abi Talib ahabbu ilayya min wiladati minhu. He says that my connection with Imam Ali alayhi salam, my wilaya with him, my connection, my spiritual connection with Imam Ali alayhi salam, is more beloved to me than the fact that I am one of his sons. I am one of his descendants. It's one thing for Ali Akbar to be the great grandson of the Prophet of Islam, but it's another thing for him to be somebody who is connected to the Prophet by means of his character and by means of his soul. That's what makes the martyrdom of this young man so special. The fact that not only did he look like the Prophet, not only did he talk like the Prophet, but he was the embodiment of the Prophet. And when we see these enemy soldiers fighting him, and we see Imam Hussein reminding them that, why is it that Imam Hussein at that point reminds them that when we used to long for the Prophet, we would go to Ali Akbar. When we see them fighting somebody who is like the Prophet, we see a bit and understand a bit of how evil and how wretched these people were. On one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah has favored and graced and bestowed a great blessing upon the believers when He gave them a prophet from amongst themselves. And they are willing to go against somebody who is the embodiment of the Prophet? This young boy, this young man. What kind of people were these? When Ali Akbar alayhi salam sees that the companions have given up their lives and done their sacrifice, he is the first of Bani Hashim to go to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and seek permission to go to the battlefield. He wants to take the precedence. Let it not be the case that somebody should outstrip him in the honor of being the first among the shuhada of the family of the Prophet. According to historical narration, Imam Hussein alayhi salam does not hesitate in giving his son the permission to go to battlefield. There is no hesitation, but as Ali Akbar makes his way, this young man, they say either 19 or 25 years old, this young man, as he makes his way towards the enemy army, we're told that at that point Imam Hussein's eyes began to fill with tears. They began to fill with tears, and he cries out in such a way that everyone can hear, Allahumma ashhad, O Allah, be witness. لَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلُقًا وَمَنْطِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ. O Allah, bear witness that now goes forth this young man, that when it comes to his looks, when it comes to his character, when it comes to his speech, he is the most resembling the Prophet of Islam. This is the young man who's going. And what kind of connection he has with his father. As he goes towards the enemy army, He cries out in his battle cry, Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Aliyin. Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Aliyi. Nahnu wa baytillahi awla bin nabiyyi. Ama tarawna kayfa ahma an abi. I am Ali, the son of Husayn, the son of Ali. And we, by the Kaaba, by the holy Kaaba, I swear by the Kaaba that we are most deserving of being recognized and being associated with the Prophet. Don't you see how I protect my father? And how did he protect his father? Brothers and sisters, let us adopt the guise of mourners by casting our heads down and trying to bring tears to our eyes. How did he defend his father? According to historical reports, this young man himself against the army, some say that he was able to kill 120 of their soldiers. They must have thought to themselves, who is this man? Is it Ali, the son of Hussein, the son of Ali? Or is it Ali ibn Abi Talib himself who's here fighting these enemy soldiers? Why can he not be defeated? Somehow he's able to, after all this time, come back to his father. Look at his attachment to his father, Hussein. He wants to bid him one last farewell before bidding farewell to this world. He tells his father, Ya Abati, al-atashu qad qatalani. Oh my father, this thirst is killing me. وَثَقُلَ عَلَيَّ وَثِقْلُ الْحَدِيدِ قَدْ أَجْهَدَنِي. The heaviness of my armor is oppressing me. فَحَلْ إِلَى شَرْبَةٍ مِنَ الْمَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. If only there was some way that I could get some water. Now I don't know what kind of father could be able to bear the sight of his son coming to him in that situation and what he would say. But Imam Hussein al-Islam consoles him, saying, just fight a little bit more. And soon I promise you, I am the Imam of the time. I have knowledge, I have vision. I'm promising you that your thirst will be quenched by your grandfather, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali Akbar finds renewed energy. He goes back and fights more. They don't know what to do. One of them sees an opportunity. He casts his spear forward and hurls it towards Ali Akbar. It hits Ali Akbar alayhi salam. He falls to the ground, but his last thoughts before he leaves the world are on his father. He says, Ya Abata alayka minni salam. Oh my father, I convey my last salutations to you. Hada jaddi yuqri'uka salam. This is my grandfather. He is sending his salams to you, and he is telling you to hurry up and come to him. History reports that at this point Imam Hussein rushes to his son. But what have they done to him? فَقَطَعُوهُ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. How did they treat Ali Akbar? إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. The same way that a butcher treats a piece of meat, that's what they did to Ali Akbar alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, look at the scene. He kneels down to the body of his son. He places his cheek on the cheek of his son. And he says, عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعَدَكَ الْعَفَى. Life is worthless living after you, O Ali Akbar. At that point, he makes his way back to the tents. But there is now a lady who sees what has happened. Zainab salamullahi alayha cannot bear to see what has happened to her nephew. She cannot bear to see what has happened to this being who used to be the Prophet and like the Prophet for them. So she cries out, Wa Habiba, O the beloved of my heart. وَابْنَا يَبْنَا أَخَا. Oh, the son of my brother, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مَنْ قَلِبٍ.